Celeb Savant is a career retrospective type interview focusing on singers, actors, and industry experts. Join Barrett Edelstein now as he dives into the entertainment world.
American Robin S. is a true dance icon who placed her first gold single with the worldwide chart-topping smash and dance music classic, remixed with the great success by Stonebridge, Show Me Love. Robin was named Best Dance Artist at the Billboard Awards in 1993, and Show Me Love received the award for Best Dance Single. Robin also earned the award for Best Dance Artist at the Winter Dance Music Conference. She has continued to make an impact across the globe with number one Billboard single, Shout It Out Loud, as well as other top charting songs like Love for Love, What I Do Best, I Want to Thank You, and the song Giving You All That I've Got off the Space Jam soundtrack. With TV appearances and a string of tours around the globe, showcasing her unique blend of vocal excellence, energy, and show-stopping songs to create powerful and passionate performances. Up next on Celeb Savant, discussing her journey in the entertainment world, her upcoming tour of South Africa, and her new album, which she'll be recording in Cape Town with producer Paris Mark Toon and mother's favorite child, is Robin S. Where in the world are you and how are you doing?
I am in Atlanta, Georgia, USA, and I am doing a lot better than a couple of days ago. I was a little under the weather, thank goodness I'm doing well.
Let's rewind. At what age, whether as a child or teenager, did you think, okay, I want to be in this music world? And how did that journey progress?
I was five. I was 5 years old when I knew that I wanted to sing. I didn't know that I could sing, but I wanted to be an entertainer. You see, I was a Michael Jackson fan, you know, a Jackson 5 fan. You couldn't tell me I wasn't one of their biggest fans. And I knew at that point that they made people feel good. And that's kind of what I wanted to do. You know, I wanted to make people feel good. Not knowing what my vocal ability was at the time, and really didn't care because I was young. You know, that's all I wanted to do was sing. And my mother used to say, girl, would you please be quiet? You wake up in the morning singing, you go to bed at night singing. Could you just be quiet? And I couldn't because that's what I wanted to do. So it was a long journey. You know, I mean, I stood in front of mirrors with hairbrushes and brooms, you know, acting as if the broom was my microphone and, you know, just testing out what I sound like, what I could possibly do. But, you know, the journey was really, I wouldn't say tedious because I'm a child, you know, at that point. And my mother was the one who realized that I had something. Was a singer, and he used to sing with the quartet at the infamous World's Fair. And my mother used to sing a little bit. So it was my mom who really paid attention to my vocal ability. She sent me to have singing lessons. And so I took singing lessons for years with the same infamous gentleman who taught Melba Moore. And I went to him in my teenage years. And he used to tell me, and I'll never forget this, the ugliest sounds. And I'll never forget that because it's true. So at about maybe 16, 17, my mother sold tickets and rented out a venue and hired a band. And she gave me my first concert. And that's when I absolutely knew that that is what I wanted to do for the rest of my life.
And how did that concert then allow you to become professional? What were the next steps?
Well, my next steps was actually I was at a wedding of my cousin. There was a band that was there, and I wanted to present my cousin with a gift. I didn't have a physical gift to give her, but I wanted to present her with a vocal gift, a song, The Way We Were. I remember it vividly, by Barbara Streisand, and then Gladys Knight had redid it. So I sang the Gladys Knight version of The Way We Were. And at the band at the time, unbeknownst to me, was looking for a female vocalist. because their female vocalist had just gotten a record deal. And so I started singing with that band, which helped me become a great, I wouldn't say a great entertainer, but hone in on my craft. Let me put it that way. Hone in on my craft and become a better entertainer, you know, because you have some singers who are great at singing, but they can't entertain.
Ah.
And then you have entertainers who are good at entertaining, but they can't really sing. So it helped me. Singing with the live band helped me to hone in on who I really am and who I wanted to become and what I wanted to deliver to the people, you know, and how I wanted to make them feel. And I sang with that band all through my high school years and my college years, you know, and I had a lot of training. You know, I didn't get a chance to go to my own prom because I was too busy singing at other people's proms and you know, with the band and college tours with the band and everything. So I was with them for a long time. I believe that it did help me become a better entertainer.
How did you choose the stage name Robin S?
It was a little difficult for me because that is obvious. Is not my birth name. Robin is my birth name. Mm-hmm. But Jackson is my birth name. Okay, so at the time that this music was coming out, you had all of the Jackson 5 that was out. You had Rebe Jackson, Janet Jackson. You had all of them that were out. Then you had Millie Jackson and you had Keisha Jackson, which I know them as well. But I'm not wanting to get caught up in that whole Jackson envelope,
yeah.
You know, oh, it's another Jackson, you know, and having to explain that I don't think I'm related to them. I really don't think so, but you never know. But, you know, and I didn't want that to become the focal point of what and why and who I am. They asked me to think of another name, and I was first Robin Stone. And I used that name because that was my father's professional boxing name. He went by the name of Stonewall Jackson. And so I used Stone. So when Show Me Love first came out, it came out under Robin Stone. And the funny part about it is that when people used to call me Miss Stone, I would never answer it because I wasn't used to being called Miss Stone. I was used to being called Robin or Robin Jackson, you know. So I just said, you know what, let's just drop the rest of the letters and just use the S. Did it take me a long time to answer to Miss S? Oh, it sounded so weird. And it still sounds weird to me. You know, so I still have people to just call me Robin. I'll answer to that. That's what I'm used to answering to.
So you've been in the industry for a number of years, performing, creating. What keeps motivating you to keep creating and getting up on the stage to perform?
People going through life. You know, life is life. And sometimes when it's life and it's not easy for some people, you know, and when you have people come and tell you that you've made an impact on their lives, or that you've changed some things in their lives, or that you've saved their lives and that you made them feel happy and you gave them a moment of to release. That's what I look for. And that's why I do it. And baby, I will be riding this wheel until the wheels fall off.
What do you enjoy about performing live?
Oh my gosh, the energy. Like I feed off of the energy. You know, I give the audience exactly what they give me. And I love talking to them. I love engaging. I love having them talk back to me. I love, you know, because it's not a one-woman show. I mean, it's a show that people came to hear you sing, but they don't want to just hear you sing. They want to know that you have a human side to you, that you have a side that you can communicate with them and you can engage with them and you can make them feel like, hey, this is our concert. This is not just her concert. This is a concert that we participated in, we parlayed in. And when they go home, they feel good. It's the people.
I'm that person that's normally right up in front. I'm dancing. I'm jamming. I'll take my cell phone out for maybe one or two photos, one or two videos. Then I put it away. I notice these days a lot of people are videoing and tweeting and posting for a lot of time of the show. As a person on the stage, seeing potentially a bunch of phones, do you think it takes away from that energy you referenced, or it's just where society is at this stage?
I think it's just where society is at this stage. And, you know, I always tease people. I say, okay, if you're going to take pictures, make sure you get my good side. You know, and I'll stand and I'll strike a pose, and I'll strike a pose to the left and to the right. I might even turn around and strike a pose, would turn my head back at them. You know, you have to make light of situations because everyone is going through something and people are human. And I'm not above anyone. I'm just like you. You know, I put my pants on one leg at a time. You know, you cut me, I bleed. I do get sick. I do get coughs. I do get the flu. I did have COVID. You know, I life just like you live. And so when you're on that stage, it's the perception that people have of you. But it's your job, I believe, as a performer to let them know that I'm as human as you are.
Yeah,
I'm just like you.
Absolutely. To add to that, what helps me oftentimes is everyone uses 2 or 3-ply toilet paper. There's no gold plated toilet paper, because if there is, people's backside could be very sore.
Hey, I like that one. I enjoy that one. Yes, definitely enjoy that one.
Because that helps ground me. So the same way I speak to you is the same way I speak to the person at the checkout counter. The same way I speak to my colleagues. The same way I speak to the people who do my gym classes. We are all the same. We are all equal.
We are all the same. We are definitely all the same. You know, I get up in the morning. I take care of my personals just like you do. I brush my teeth. I do what I need to do to take care of me. And you do the same thing.
Mm.
You know, people used to say to me, oh, you know, I know you're living large. And I look at them and I tilt my head and I'm like, well, I know I'm living, but I don't know how large it is. You know, it depends upon the person.
Yeah.
I mean, I still do my own grocery shopping. I still wash my own clothes. I don't have a maid. I still clean my own house. I'm about as natural as it comes.
Yeah.
Because I like being me. You know, I've said this for years. Humility will always have its place in my life.
It's a beautiful saying. You've got an upcoming tour to South Africa in September. Tell us all about it.
Ooh-wee, I'm coming home. I always say that South Africa is my home because I feel like I am home. There's a sense of warmth, a sense of love, a sense of peace. I love the culture, and I am so excited just to be going back and mingling and having fun with, you know, with my people.
I love me a CD. I still budget for my CDs every month. For me, it's an energy exchange to say thank you to you guys for all the hard work that you do. I love the journey of the choice, the unpacking, right, the booklet, the listening to song from 1 to whatever number. I'm unsure if you are aware, but there's a massive uptick of physical around the world. A couple of years ago in the UK, 5.9 million vinyls sold, the biggest since 1990. Also last year in the UK, there's a basket of products that they gauge exchanges on. And based on these exchanges, which there needs to be a high amount every day, they analyze it for some other tax purposes. And because of the upsurge of CDs again, CDs are now back in the basket. And the research is showing that it's the teenagers, it's the younger kids diving into this world, not necessarily the older nostalgic people in inverted commas. Then we've got streaming platforms that people consume music on. What are your observations of the landscape at the moment?
Because technology changes so quickly, and we live in an age where, you know, streaming is here now, but may not be here later. I love the fact that the CDs have picked up again, because you'll always have them. You know, that's something that if they never play it on the streaming again, you'll have it. So I'm really happy that the CDs have picked up, you know, have upticked again with the purchasing of the CDs. Again, we live in such a vast and fast era of technology that, okay, it's streaming now. Well, what is it going to be in 5 years? You know, and will they still capture the older music, the nostalgic music? And that is probably what is happening, is that these teenagers, these younger our generation is looking for the older music because they're not playing the older music. They're hearing new versions of music that has been done or redone, but they want to hear the original version of it. And that's something that will never go away. And if they continue to see these, it'll never go away.
I totally agree with you. I understand that you're going to be working on and creating new music. Can you give us any ideas or sneak peeks, or it's still very much in the planning stage?
Any new music that you hear from me, because I am a spiritual person, there's always a message in a bottle. I challenge everyone to figure out what the message is. So all the music, to answer your question and to the question that people may have, is messages, positive messages, because we live in such a time where there's so much going on and so much adversity and so much hatred and so much of everything. It's just, I'm just overstimulated with it right now. And so I just feel like there has to be people or persons that send messages and deliver messages that are uplifting and up motivating and just give hope. That's what I pray that my music does right now. The new music that's coming out is just, it's giving you hope. You know, if you're looking for love like mine, here I am. You know, and that's one of the words, some of the verses and one of the songs that I have, down to tonight. You know, going to put down our defenses for tonight. You know, those things gives hope, gives love, gives peace. And so I hope that people find the message in the song.
I love this game. I know if I had to ask you this question tomorrow or the next day, I know your answer will be different every time. I understand that and I recognize that. I'm not saying favorite. I'm saying top of mind. If you had to push play to five other artists once we finish this conversation, just off the top of your mind, who would those artists be?
One would be Gladys Knight. Two would be Phyllis Hyman. Three would be Ledisi. Four would be Chris Brown. And five would be Crystal Waters.
Robin, the podcast is listened to throughout the world. As a final message, what would you like to say?
I want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart to any and to everyone who has followed me for the last 35 years. It has been a long haul. It has been a long, long haul. But we made it when we made it together. For those who are young and have been reintroduced to who I am and what I am, thank you very much for hanging in there with me for the time that you have. I know that you live in a time where the music is so fast and so much coming at you. And I want you to know that I appreciate each and every one of you who has listened to the music as of late and enjoyed it. And now it is on your podcast and now it is on your playlist. To the world as a whole, keep your head up, keep striving, keep looking forward. Better days are coming. And thank you again for the love, the support. You give me life, you give me joy, and I leave it there on the stage every single time I'm with you. I love you, and I'll never stop, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Celeb Savant. Please follow Barrett on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook at Celeb Savant. That's CelebSavant.